As I was contemplating what I might be saying today, the Lord was speaking to me about encouraging. Maybe some words not filled with great doctrine, but words that might encourage us. And we're going to do that. We're going to move through some passages of Scripture. We're going to begin by reading from the book of Job, chapter 19. Job chapter 19. And we're going to begin reading at verse 25. Verse Job 19:25. And I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the later day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the assurance that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that in your love you have provided for us such a wonderful plan of salvation. We thank you, you sent your Son into the world to give his life for ours on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the benefits that are ours, for the blessings you bestow upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for one another, and we pray that you'll continue to bless here Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. We pray, Lord, that your will be done. We thank you, Lord, for the growth. We pray that it is not only in numbers, but in spirituality. For those that are laid aside with sicknesses, we do pray, Lord, your hand of encouragement, if perchance, Lord, your hand of healing upon them. For the brother who read from the scriptures today, as he's no doubt returning to his home, we pray your hand of blessing upon him and lead in his life wherever he might be. Now again, we pray that you might speak to our hearts, that we might be encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might be able to relate to that which we read and which we speak about today. As we pray in the Lord Jesus' name, amen. I've decided to use the little pronoun my, and we're going to speak about things that relate to my Redeemer, my strength, my peace, and so on. We're going to follow through some passages of Scripture as we have time this morning. First of all, we have this tremendous statement from Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, there is much in the book of Job to discourage, much in the book of Job to really oppress his spirit. We're not going to have time to go through all of that, but he is termed the King of Sufferers. And indeed, that's a rightful term for him. He endured many, many hardships, physically, spiritually, among his friends. It was very difficult. Yet in about the darkest moments, when he can say to his advisors, how long will you vex my spirit and break me in pieces with your word? You've not been any encouragement to me at all. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, all is bleak. My family is gone. I'm sitting here with boils. And then in this darkest moment, he cries out, I know my Redeemer liveth. Do you know that with this confidence, I know, and we should know as believers, we should be confident and encouraged because we know our God liveth, our Savior is alive, then we know that God has a plan for us. And we can rest in him, knowing most assuredly come what may, He is going to give us the strength and the peace to see us through whatever the circumstance might be. And we do go through some trying experiences. I want to share one with you. This past weekend, last weekend, I was in Milwaukee. Now, my wife has come to the place, she doesn't want me to come to Milwaukee. I'll just tell you, she doesn't, because she dreads the phone calls that she might get. Well, I called her and said, "Dear wife, Ellen, I've been in an accident. I was driving my car in the city of Milwaukee, and I was hit. And the driver did not have a license of the other car. He was not insured. And there's been extensive damage to his car and to mine." I couldn't believe it, but I didn't even have an ache or pain. The other driver has cut his head open and things like that. The car was a wreck. And that was kind of a downer. You know how that is? You go through those things. But I knew my Redeemer liveth. And I said, "Lord, I accept this. I know that you have a program and a plan. I don't want to get caught in doubts or speculations. I said, Lord, help me to be alert as to who you want me to talk to." Well, it was on a weekend and very few places are open to do body work or do hauling and so on. So I was able to contact a hauler near our home in Marshfield. And he had his driver come down to Milwaukee and to haul my car back up to Marshfield. He did that on Monday. Well, I got into the car with the driver. He's a young fella, filled with energy, thrilled about his family, talking about his kids. And he said to me, "Do you ever wonder why things like this happen?" I said, "Yes." I said, "But I know why it did happen." He said, "How could you know?" I said, "Well, it's obvious. God wanted me to be in this cab with you so I could talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ." He's driving. And I said, "I don't know if you know much about that. Let me tell you how God saved me." As we're driving along, and I finished, and I said, "You know, you have to make this personal." He pulled over to the side of the road, and he said, "It was worth the whole trip just to hear that." I said, "But it's not the story, it's the implication. You must commit to Christ yourself. You must believe." He said, I know that, I'm doing that. He said, "From what you're saying, you're telling me that I can be assured that I have eternal life." And I said, "Absolutely." He said, "That's great, that's thrilling." He said, "I've grown up in a religious denomination and that was never mentioned." And he said, "You're telling me that if I trust in Christ as my Savior and believe He died for me, I know that I'm going to heaven." I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Hallelujah." He was thrilled. By the way, I'd like for you to pray for him. His name is Jason Jonas. Would you put him on your prayer list as we do follow up with him and with his family? And so then for the rest of the time, as we drove back to Marshfield, it was just a very thrilling experience. But you know, there was the assurance there that my God is alive. My Redeemer liveth. Job goes on to say, in the later days, he shall stand. There's a little bit more meaning there than just he shall stand. It has to do with the idea he shall arise. And of course, this is referring to the fact that there's eternity and that the Lord is going to come and redeem his people physically. But it's the idea that he shall arise. He will rise up to help me in the most difficult experience. He will vindicate me, and if necessary, he will make all things right. Now, unless you're a very exceptional person and very unusual, you're going through sometimes problems in life. We know that. You're going through difficulties. But so does God know it. And because we have the assurance that our God is alive, that our God liveth, we can trust Him. You know what that is? Rest in Him. Stop worrying. Commit it to Him. Now, it doesn't mean that we put our head into the ground like an ostrich, you know, and just not aware of what's going on. We know what's going on. We're aware of the fact. We're living in a society that puts great pressure upon us. We know that. We know that there are great financial needs. Needs with children and families and parents, employment. We're aware of all those things. But our God is able to lead and guide. He's able to be with us and to encourage us and in our hearts give us rest. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? Give us rest. What a God we have. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Peter says in his epistle, chapter 1, and verse 17, 18, and 19, "For as much as ye know that you are redeemed, not with incorruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You've been redeemed through the work of Christ on the cross, where He died and shed His blood, where He died in your place, and you've been redeemed. You can rejoice and you can sing out." You know, mention was made this morning of songs in the desert. I forget where that came from, but you had mentioned that. And I thought, our dreams in the desert. Anyway, I was thinking, yes, even through the darkest moments, we can rejoice because we know that our God is alive. And that our God died, the Lord Jesus Christ died, to bring forth redemption for us. Our salvation, the guarantee of eternal life, being brought out of the slave market of sin and death, and then to be able to walk with Him and to know Him. But I want to move on. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 12. There was a glass of water here, but it's gone. No. Janet, did you drink that water? What? It's down below? Oh, here it is. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 12, I'm sorry. I have the wrong chapter. Maybe one of you can find the right chapter and verse for me. But it's the Lord's statement to the Apostle Paul, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." What? It is 9. Oh, okay. Oh, no wonder I'm in the wrong book. Boy, was I confused there. Okay. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The strength of God is made perfect in our weakness. Now, as Paul is writing here, he's speaking and warning about the concept of pride, the dangers of pride. As he's doing that, he's making it very clear that even the most devout and maturing believer, such as himself, has a problem, and we want to make sure that we're aware of it, that this concept of pride from the inner flesh and so on wants to rear up. And Paul says in verse 7, "There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, He had said earlier, I know a man that was caught into paradise and heard speakings, words unspeakable. I just heard these things. I was aware of them. But there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, that the Lord might humble me. Okay, what does that mean? It means this, that sometimes, oftentimes, God visits our lives, and He, whether it be physical or whatever, touches us to keep us in a position of lowliness before Him. We may not like whatever it might be. We may not want it. Oftentimes we do not. But God knows, and God wants to keep us humble before Him. You know, it seems that after times of great blessings, there follows times of great trial. And it often seems that the higher we're able to rise in regards to our Christian experience, the farther we have to fall. So we must be careful. We must beware of pride, that we do not get caught in it. Now, I mentioned previously that the Apostle Paul had mentioned that he had been caught into paradise, he had abundance of revelation, and that he had then a thorn in the flesh. The height to the low, that he might continue on in a humble manner to serve the Lord. Not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing for others. Now, I've told you about my low when I got hit by the car in the accident. A week earlier, I had a high. I think Bob told you about some of that. Actually, it was a high because of the results, not because of what had happened. Again in Milwaukee, driving with my window open, 8:30 at night. A car pulled up in front of me. It stopped. A man got out, began to talk to people across the street, walked between the cars. My window being open, he jumped in my front window with a needle-nose plier, and he said, "Give me your car and give me your money." Wow. Give me your car and give me your money. Well, because he was taking the keys out of the ignition and trying to get into my wallet, I wasn't able to do either. We fought. And somehow the needle-nose plier went out the door. I had the lights on. I began to cry out for help. Somebody help me. Help, help, help. Police went by. Cars went by. Nobody helped. Wow, wow. You see, that doesn't sound like a high. Well, it ended in a high. Very fortunately, I was able to wrestle with this man. I was able to relate back to some of my boxing skills. I'm sure Bob told you about that. And I was able to punch him with my left hand. That angered him. He went into a bag he had. He pulled out a knife. And he began to come at me with the knife. I caught him, fortunate by the grace of God. Yes, our God is with us. Caught him, his hand. And we continued to fight. I continued to cry out for help. By the grace of God, again, I was able to hit him again with my right hand under the throat, shocked him. He dropped the knife on the floor and let his hand loose from the seatbelt so I could get out, maneuver a little bit, and a man opened the door from the street, pulled him out. As he was coming out of the car, he said to the man, "I left my knife in there." He gave him his knife. He was gone into the crowd. The man that opened the door said, "God must be watching over you." I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely." Now, the experience was not good, but it was a spiritual high. You know, I was free. I drove across the street, the intersection, and as I drove across the intersection, I got out of the car to see if I was all there, if I had been stabbed, if I was bleeding, and I had my wallet. The only thing I didn't have was my cell phone, which was in the street, which I was able to get. Boy, was I glad that I could say, my Redeemer liveth. Was I glad I was in the hands of God. What a thrill to know that God was watching over me. It was a high. Well, the next week, of course, I had the accident. That wasn't so high. But thank God, there's a man who has come to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior and is very concerned about his teenage daughter coming to our next teen retreat. Her name is Brendy. And we would appreciate your praying for her that she will come to the retreat, that she might hear the good news. And so Paul is able to say in this passage, as he's triumphing in Christ, he says, the power and the majesty of Christ is resting upon me. You know, brethren, these promises of God are real. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, we don't want to get carried away as we speak these things. But we know that our God is able to strengthen us and help us even through the most difficult times. Not only physically, but in every way. My God, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I'm sure I told you this before, but when L. Leach and I were carrying on children's ministries in Kenosha, and we had kids memorizing Bible verses, one Friday night, a girl came to us and was crying, just weeping. She said, I could not memorize the verse. And this was the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I said to her, well, we can work on it. Why were you having such a hard time memorizing the verse? And she said this, I cannot pronounce the word strengtheneth. And I said, oh, you cannot pronounce that word. Well, she just has said it, you see. But she is convinced she couldn't do it because she couldn't pronounce that word. And so then, as I said, you just said the word. She said, oh, yeah, I did. And then she was able to pronounce the word. But, you know, we stumble sometimes at that verse, not in memorizing it, but in the reality of it. The very fact that our God is able to strengthen us. Our God is able to take care of us. Well, I want to move on to the book of Philippians. We've been quoting from there a verse. Book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that. We can rest in the fact that God has said, my strength can be made perfect in your weakness. And we can just trust him. Now we read, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Now I know primarily this is speaking about a financial need as Paul is writing here in the book of Philippians. But I'm sure that we can apply that to every area of our life. And if God is our portion, there is no condition that should make me miserable. None at all. I should not allow it to do so. Nothing that should keep me from resting in his power and in his might. Isn't it good that, again, we read, my God. You know, we can personally say this, each one of us, if we have come to him through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My God. The God of might and power, the God of creation, the God who spoke and things came into existence, he's my God. I'm his child. I'm his child through regeneration. Born into his family through the ministry of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to reveal to me my need as a sinner, that Christ died in my place, that he was buried, that he rose again, and trusting in him, I've been born into his family, and I can say most assuredly, my God, I know him. I know him. So as we say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is more than just saying, I believe in a creed. It is more than just saying, I believe in a religious belief. In our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saying, I know God. I know the Lord Jesus. And you can ask me about him, and I can tell you about him. He's not some kind of figure of my imagination, but he's real. Now let me assure you, if people were to ask me about my wife, I did not have to hesitate and tell people about her. It was very easy because I loved her and I knew her. And I was thrilled to be able to share what I knew about my wife with them. I knew at that time she was 5'2". I knew that. I knew what she looked like physically. I knew what she was like emotionally. I knew what her desire was in the things of God. I knew she loved children. I could go on and on. But when we say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're able to speak about him, what he's like, who he is, what he has done for us on the cross, what he's doing for us now. You see, we know him. We know him. And it is this God who is able to supply our every need. It is this one that we're talking about, that we're his children because we've been brought into his family by faith. And then, even though the storms of life come upon us, he's able to throw his mantle around us. He's able to protect us. If his eye is on the sparrow, then surely his eye is upon me. Have you ever been caught in a storm? There was a storm in Phoenix last year, a hurricane. And as people lived close to the Galveston Bay area, they had to evacuate. Alex and Mary had to evacuate with their two children, our daughter Alex and her husband and family. They got onto the expressway, and they were on the expressway for 22 hours, and they went 30 miles. It was a chaotic mess. What were they going to do? Did God know about it? Yes. Yes. She called us, kind of worried. Mary gets that way. Kind of frantic, you know. And she told us what was taking place. The confusion on the road. Cars running out of gas. No water. It was just a mess. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? A man in Dallas, Texas, who grew up in our ministry in Kenosha, called us at that time. And he said, if there's anybody in your family down there, have them come to our house. That was a tremendous offer, but there's no way to get there. What are we going to do? Well, God's in control. Ellen said, let's call Barbara, former Barbara Young out of the meeting in Kenosha, who used to babysit for us, and very good friends. Let's call Barbara. She lives in an area called the Woodlands, and Alex and Mary were very near there. Call up Barbara. She says, oh, yeah, we're dry. Have them come. And so it was like an oasis. They went over there. They just relaxed. They were just thrilled. It was just a wonderful thing God provided, you see. God is concerned about his children. Well, I trust you can relate to these things. And if you go through something, trust the Lord. Just rest in him. Well, the all clear was given.
They were anxious to get back, see if their house was there, what had happened. They drove back. They told us, oh, we're back, and the neighborhood is fine. Things are going real well. They were kind of excited about that. And we thank you, Lord. Then later, Mary called up. It was now dark. And she said, this is terrifying. What happened, Mary? She said, the neighborhood is filled with looters. On every corner, there's looters. They're running through the yard. We're the only ones that have our lights on. And we're scared. Let's pray. We prayed. We're all praying. And within minutes, the National Guard had a helicopter landing in front of their house with armed men coming out protecting them. Brethren, is that just by chance? You think it's just... No, it's not. No, it's not. We're talking about a God who is concerned about us. A God, even though the storms may rage, He's there to fling His mantle about us. He's there to shield us. Shield us from the fiery darts of the evil one, even though we're not aware of it. And we ought to be thanking Him. So, we know that God does answer our prayers. What a merciful God we have. Are you concerned about loved ones that they might get saved? We all are. We all are. Does God hear us at all? Years go on, nothing happens. We keep praying, we keep praying. My dad was very open to his sons and his daughters being involved in the things of God, but he just could not understand the gospel. And maybe he didn't want to understand it. They were living in Arizona, and one night, we get a call. It's our brother Tom, and he's saying, "El, Dad has had a heart attack. We don't know if he's going to live." And he said, "The doctor wants to talk to you," and talk to the doctor. And he said, "This is a very serious heart attack. He's, you know, they were doing all that they could, but they wanted us to know in case we had to go out to Arizona." We were living in Milwaukee at the time. My brothers and sisters began to assemble together in our home as we were anticipating just what could be done. Oh, that God would work in his heart that Dad would be saved. We're all waiting there, anticipating. We get another call, and Tom says, "Al, Dad got saved." Now, Tom was so excited, I didn't know exactly what he was talking about. You know, I thought I heard him, and I said, "Did you say Dad trusted the Lord as his Savior?" He said, "Yes." He came out of the coma. He removed the tubes from his mouth temporarily so he could say to us, "I've trusted in the Lord Jesus as my Savior." The things that Bill and Bob and Al were telling me, I realized, and I've trusted in Christ. Don't give up. May I encourage you to pray without ceasing for loved ones, for friends, for individuals, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. My God shall supply your every need. My God is going to work in your behalf for your good. Wow. What a promise. What a promise. Our God will supply our every need. I've been talking a lot of things about myself today, but maybe you can relate to it. Before I became a Christian, I was not a good student, to say the least. And you've heard my testimony. You know these things. But at the age of 17, one point I want to bring out. As my dad and I were before the school official and the juvenile authorities, a man said to my dad, "We know why your son acts like he does. And My dad said, why? And they said, from the IQ test and so on that we have given him, his IQ is that of a high-grade moron. And that's what he told my dad. And so that's what he said. And just as you're laughing, so did my dad. Because my dad said, how can that be true? If you just told me all these things he planned, how can he be a moron? He said, okay. Well, anyway, that's what's okay. I became a Christian. As I became a Christian, I learned verses like this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And soon after I became a believer, I read in 1 John chapter 2, I think it's verse 28. But the abiding, or the anointing that abideth in you, will teach you all things. Will teach you all things. And as you are taught in him, abide in him. At that time, I didn't know that was primarily spiritual things. And I said, teach me to read. Teach me to read. Teach me to understand what I'm reading. Teach me how to speak. Lord, help me with my grammar. Well, God supplied Ellen to help me with all of that. Okay. After the first year of marriage, we were in Kentucky at a children's home. We decide it's time now to go to college. I had not finished the 10th grade in high school. Now I wanted to go to college. Went to the extension here in Milwaukee. I think at that time it was called Milwaukee State Teachers College, I believe at that time, before it became an extension of the University of Wisconsin. I went to them and they said, well, because you're over 21, you can take some tests, and if you can pass these tests, then we are required to allow you to enter our school. Well, they said, in order to do so, you have to go down to the Milwaukee Vocational School, give me a name of a man, see him, he'll give you the test. Oh, I looked at the name. And this was the man who some previous years said, Mr. Thrall, your son's a moron. Is God able? Yes, he is. Went to his office. He saw me. Oh, Alan Thrall, come on in. What are you doing here? And I said to him, I was over at State Teachers College. They said I should come and see you to take some tests to see if I qualify to go to college. He looked at me. He's laughing. He said, you know, Al, if I wasn't convinced you were a moron then, now I am. You're not going to get in. Forget it. I said, by law, you have to give me the test. He said, yes. Then after 2 weeks, he called me back in and he wanted to know what happened. He said, what happened? What took place? And I was able to share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Able to share with him what God had done. So I went to school. And you know what happened? I met Ken Seton. And I was able to lead, by the grace of God, Ken Seton to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrilling time. What a thrilling time. My God shall supply your every need. Now I have 8 points this morning. I've gone over 3 of them. I don't know if I'm going to go over all 8 of them. I don't think I will. I don't think I'll do that. Let's just trust the Lord. Let's relax. Let's be confident of who he is. Let's be confident that we can say, I know, I believe based upon the word of God, and I can realize that God is working in my life to make me like his beloved son. And come what may God use my life for his honor and for his glory. Shall we close? Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that we can say, I know my Redeemer liveth. We can call you our Father because you have done so much for us as you allowed your Son to die in our place on the cross at Calvary. Lord, if there are any in our meeting today who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus, who are wavering, we pray that you might speak to them and that they might open their hearts to the one who loves them and gave himself for them. We pray that they might experience your gracious provision of salvation through faith in the Savior. For other of us, Lord, who are going through some difficult times, highs and lows, not knowing where the funds are coming for this situation or where we're going to get the strength for this, Lord, we pray that you might work forth peace in our hearts, that we might know that you know, and that we must have patience to wait upon you. Teach us that, Lord. Work in our hearts. Help us to say with great joy, I know my God. I know he is able. He will fulfill his promises. Bless, we pray, continue to minister to our hearts. We thank you for one another. We pray again, Lord, your hand of blessing upon us. As we pray in the Lord Jesus' name, amen.